Confirm, yeah.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees today are myself, Councillor Reid, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Fox, and Councillor Midgley. And from staff, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have no apologies at this stage. We are still on page one of the agenda, and it is a recommendation that the minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 3rd of December 2022 be confirmed as a true record. Could I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. As I said, a warm welcome to everyone today. I do hope that as many of you as possible have had an opportunity to read our 2022-23 annual report. As I said in my message in it, reading annual reports probably isn't the most exciting thing that you could do with your time. I could think of far more stimulating things to be reading. But if you are interested in what Council does, it is a really easy way to find out about all of our activities, but also the breadth of the services that we provide to Kingborough. And I think, once again, it really debunks the myth about the activities of local government just being about roads, rates and rubbish. For example, I think some people aren't aware that we have quite a significant role that we play in emergency management, both from an incident perspective, but also recovery and resilience. We know that we're vulnerable to natural disasters or even human-caused ones, and so our staff have been involved in many practical exercises to prepare for such events. And we also continue to work very closely with the fire service and other organisations to educate the community about ways of being bushfire ready. Our community services team in council may be small, but this report has 16 pages that highlight the diversity of offerings for all ages and ways we embrace lifelong learning through the many programs. And they're just a couple of examples of the activities that council provides our community. But none of this could be done without strong financial management, even in the challenging times of rising costs. So I am proud that we're able to achieve this while at the same time recognising the pressures on our residents and continuing to be one of the lowest rating urban councils in the state. None of this would be possible without the high calibre of staff that we have, and regardless of what roles they play, they all contribute to making Kingborough a great place to live or to work. It's been 12 months since the last local government elections, and I would like to acknowledge the work of my fellow councillors. We are fortunate in Kingborough to have a diverse group of people who are representing our residents on council, who have different networks within the community. And the debate on issues at meetings is well considered and, importantly, respectful, even when there is a divergence of opinion. For me, it is essential as civic leaders that we lead with this type of positive behaviour as we strive to have a more caring and connected community. So thank you to all of my colleagues for representing our residents with determination and passion, but in a positive way. Kingborough continues to be an area of vast growth, and I am excited about some of the opportunities that this will create in the coming years as we continue to have significant change. And finally, I would like to pay tribute to Gary Arnold, who has decided to leave his role as General Manager after 10 years as being the steady hand at the wheel of our ship. Ever humble in his achievements, I know that Gary will probably have words with me later about singling him out, but he has played a huge part in leading the organisation through many challenges, including natural disasters, COVID, financial pressures and many more. He has always done so with calmness and a concern for his team, and he has never wavered in the belief of Kingborough Council as an organisation to deliver to our community. As we are now in the process of recruiting his replacement, I can say that they will have very big shoes to fill. And I sincerely thank Gary for his 10 years of service to our community. And I know that I speak on behalf of all staff and councillors in wishing him and his family well for the future. And I'm sure that we will probably see you sitting there in the audience as a community member at next year's AGM. So with that, thank you, Gary, and to all staff and colleagues, and I commend the 2022-23 annual report to all of you. That now takes us to page 2, and we have a presentation from Daniel Smee, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, and we're going to learn about the sport and recreation strategy. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Mayor. So just by way of background, Council first developed a sport and recreation strategy in 1997, and we updated that in 2013, and that was a 10-year forward document, and it now being 2023, at the start of this year, we started that review process. So the review process commenced by forming a reference group, and that reference group is chaired by Councillor Dean, with assistance from Councillor Midgley and Councillor Antoli. And the reference group's made up of community stakeholders with an interest and experience in all things sport and recreation. So the first thing that the group did was to review the 2013 strategy, and that has been included as an appendix in terms of the actions that have been achieved in the strategy. And then we looked at the demographics of the community, population projections. There was a survey done of the community and some 484 people responded to that. We did a survey of school students and we got over 500 responses. We did a survey of sport and rec groups in the municipal area, and we got about 50 of those groups responded. We analysed all the data, made some recommendations, and the draft goes to Monday night's council meeting as a draft seeking approval to release that for broader public comment. So I'll just run through some of the key elements of the strategy as it's been formed to date. So the vision for the strategy is that Kingborough residents will have equitable access to a range of recreational facilities that are fit for purpose and meet both current and future needs. The principles, needs-based, so facility provision will reflect long-term needs of the community. Evidence-based, it's going to be based on demographic and participation data. Our facilities will be accessible and meet contemporary access standards. They'll be fit for purpose and they'll be viable. So it's important that what's recommended in the strategy doesn't place undue pressure on council in terms of its financial capacity to deliver all of the other services we need to provide to the community. So there has been a fairly strong element of realism provided, both by the reference group and in terms of the recommendations. Population projections, and this is a really important table because what it shows, and these figures come from the Department of Treasury and Finance, so Kingborough's current population sits at around 40,000, and in 20 years' time it's going to be at around 50,000, so a growth of 10,000 people over the next 20 years. And when you drill down further, it becomes even more interesting. So in that 0 to 14-year age group, there will be an increase, but it's not going to be massive over the next 20 years. So those facilities that we provide for that younger age group, we're still going to need to provide them, we're still going to need to improve them, but there's not necessarily going to be a huge extra demand. However, where there will be a big extra demand, if you look in those age or older age groups, so in the 50 to 64, you'll see growth of some 3,000 people, and over 65, similarly. So if you look at that as a pyramid. That is our current age pyramid. And then project that forward 20 years and you see that massive bulge in the middle. So we're going to have an older population in terms of proportion, and then that has some significant implications for our recreational planning, which I will get to. So if we look at participation trends nationally over the last 20 years, you'll see that back at the start of the century, participation in formal sports was higher than in non-sporting activities. So formal recreation had a higher level than informal. That's now flipped around, and you can see that trend towards more Australians participating in informal recreation. And by informal, I'm talking things such as walking, just going for a casual swim, not competing, cycling, again, not competitive cycling, but just going for a ride. So all of those informal activities are very much becoming a higher participation trend than what has been historically participation in some of our more sporting activities, AFL, cricket, etc. Nationally, you'll see that 45% of our population, when they're asked the question, what recreational activities do you participate in on a regular basis, they say walking. And that's followed by going to the gym or engaging in some sort of fitness activity, running and athletics, and the majority of that would be recreational runners. Some people would be aware of the rise of park run. Fun runs are still very popular. Swimming's pretty high. And then you can see then you start to get into some of the more formal sports, but nowhere near as high in terms of participation as those informal sports, informal activities. This is for children, the top 10 recreation activities for children, and swimming comes out at number one. Probably no surprise that soccer ranks pretty highly, gymnastics. Dancing's an interesting one. Certainly was a surprise to the reference group that that was as high as it is. And then you'll see some of the more traditional sports have a fairly high representation in terms of participation by Australian children. This is in Tasmania, and very similar trend. You'll see swimming being the number one activity. And this is the question that was asked is, what activities do you participate in outside of school? So it's not necessarily what they do at school. And I suspect that the reason swimming's so high is being an island state, swimming includes going to the beach for a swim. So it's probably more about beach swimming than it is about pool swimming, that particular statistic. Now we drill down to Kingborough, and this is adult participation, and again, adult participation reflects the national and state trend where walking ranks as our number one activity, and the same as nationally, going to the gym or engaging in fitness activity ranks as number two. Bushwalking comes in at number three, and it's hard to know what people are actually thinking when they say bushwalking. Certainly my idea of bushwalking is putting a pack on your back and going for a multi-day walk, but I suspect people have a definition of bushwalking that's going for a walk on the Alum Cliffs track, for example. Swimming ranks highly, followed by cycling and then some of the others. This is the results of our community survey that we did, and we looked at participation in indoor sports and outdoor sports. So this is the indoor statistics, and going to the gym ranks as number one and going to the pool ranks as number two, which is interesting given that we don't have a pool. It suggests that a lot of people are travelling outside of Kingborough to go to the pool. Yoga and Pilates ranked surprisingly high, and then you can see the other results. And this is outdoor. So again, walking, bushwalking, running, cycling, all those informal activities are ranking really high amongst our community. And this is amongst young people. So these are the results of the school survey. So there's 500 odd kids that filled this out. And, you know, soccer's their number one, followed by swimming, netball, futsal, mountain bike riding, cricket, etc. By frequency, we have a really active community, so our participation rates are higher than the national average. So you can see, you know, over half of our population are participating multiple times a week. Over 75% of the population are participating in a sport and recreation activity on a weekly basis. And then, you know, 13.5% are saying they compete, participate on a daily basis. So our overall participation rate in sport and recreation is about 92%. So only 8% of the community are saying they don't participate in any form of sport and recreation activity. We asked the community to rate the standard of our facilities. So this graph here is, in essence, providing a score out of 5, where 5 is excellent and 0 is poor. So our indoor sporting facilities ranked fairly highly, as did our dog exercise areas and the condition of our sports grounds, parks and reserves. But then at the other end of the scale, our aquatic facilities didn't rank so high, and that's not a reflection on the standard of the private pool in Kingston. It's a reflection of people saying, well, we don't have one, so we're going to rate it poorly. Our skate facilities ranked fairly poorly, and cycle paths, again, not necessarily a reflection on the condition of what we got. It's more people saying, well, we don't have enough, so we're going to score that one fairly poorly. We asked people what they saw as opportunities for improvement, and this particular response, when you drill down into the data, more facilities for most people equals we want a public swimming pool, and they told us that in the data. You know, there's some other comments around improving the quality, improving fit for purpose, making our facilities more affordable, but when you look at the raw data behind what's informing these comments, the overwhelming theme is about the community telling us we would like a public pool, please. The barriers to participation, again, that lack of relevant and specific facilities is dominated by the issue of a pool. Affordability was cited as an issue, poor quality of facilities, but again, you know, there are around 20% of respondents saying this. Poor disability access was the lowest ranking facility, which was pleasing that we've got that result. It's telling us that disability access is not a massive barrier to participation. It's not to say that we don't have some facilities that we need to do more, but it's pleasing that that hasn't been highlighted to us as a barrier, because it's something we have worked hard on over the past 10 years, and certainly the Mayor with her access committee, it's something that they've worked hard on too. So as I said, the most prominent issue arising from the engagement was the desire by the community for a public swimming pool, and that was consistent with the findings of a feasibility study we did in 2021, which found that, you know, there's really strong desire for our community to have an aquatic facility of some sort. So I'll move into the recommendations. And the number one issue that we need to address is we need to respond to this community desire for a pool. Council, when it considered the feasibility study, acknowledged the fact that, and the feasibility study said, if Kingborough Council wants a pool, it's A, going to be very expensive from a capital perspective, and B, it's going to be expensive to operate. In fact, the feasibility study suggested that it would require a council subsidy of around $750,000 per year. So the question for the community is, if we want a pool, are we prepared to pay for it? And essentially, that will be a combination of user pays at the door or everyone pays through rates. So council's position back then was to pursue it, but acknowledging that it's going to need substantial support from state and federal governments, particularly in the capital space. So this recommendation that we've put in our draft strategies is just to take that one step further by adopting the recommendation in the feasibility study and establishing a project committee that's going to look at all those issues around the design, the funding opportunities, both in terms of capital and operational, look at examples from elsewhere. So really take a long-term view to this, but be a bit more active than what we have done over the last 12 months in terms of pursuing it. Acknowledging that the growth in our population is going to be in our older demographic, and what does the research tell us that the older demographic want to do? They want to go walking. So the second recommendation of our strategy is that we need to review and update our tracks and trails action plan, and we need to resource it accordingly. There's still a very disproportionate amount of our resourcing going towards tracks and trails versus what we provide for formal sporting activities, and that's something we're going to need to address, and that's been a recommendation that's falling out of this strategy. I won't go through all of them, but a second turf wicket has been a issue that's been around for a while. That again came out through the consultation. It's something we need to pursue. Upgrade of sports grounds. What we're suggesting in the strategy is that we actually prepare a facility concept master plan for each. Just something simple, but it provides a strategic blueprint for the development of our sports grounds, as opposed to what has been very much just an ad hoc, depending on the whim of the respective committees. Cycle paths, similar to tracks and trails, the evidence and the data around participation in cycling suggests that we need to do more in terms of our active transport infrastructure and invest more resources into cycle paths. We've acknowledged the feedback in relation to the poor standard of our skate parks, and we've put as a recommendation to pursue a high quality skate park in Kingborough. We don't know where that'll be yet, but it's there as a recommendation. Upgrade of outdoor courts, and one thing that's come through in the strategy is the need to make them multi-use, so that the old tennis court that just has a net and nothing else, there's an opportunity, like they've done at Kettering, to put up some basketball infrastructure and make these multi-use community facilities, bearing in mind that the data's saying, you know, not everyone wants to play tennis, but if you can maximise the benefits of the space, it's a good outcome. A synthetic playing field to address the issues we have in terms of our ovals being closed in winter when it gets wet. With the growth in the population, we know we're going to need more indoor courts at the Kingborough Sports Centre. They're already at capacity, and we've got a concept plan to develop more courts. So again, the recommendation is to establish an indoor working group to pursue that. Some implementation of master plans that we already have. There was a suggestion that we explore the opportunity for a sea pool, a bit of a left field suggestion, but we think it's worth exploring the potential of that. In terms of council's role in advocacy and support, there's a number of clubs around at the moment that are pursuing club room, change room facility upgrades, council to support them. One thing that came out in the feedback was, as a barrier to participation, the cost of hiring council halls, particularly for activities like yoga, Zumba, dance, etc., that was a fairly recurrent theme in terms of that being a barrier. So we've made a recommendation that that be reviewed. We don't have a marine facilities strategy, and yet we do have increasing participation in kayaking, canoeing, and we got a high level of recreational fishing activity in Kingborough. So a more strategic approach to our marine facilities would be good. A lot of the clubs told us that they'd really like support in terms of grants, being able to have council assist them in terms of knowledge of what grants are available and actually helping them put together an application. So there's a recommendation in there for council to pursue within its workforce plan a grants officer, and that would also benefit council in many other areas, not just sport and rec. Interestingly, one of the feedback items received in relation to barrier participation was just lack of knowledge of what sporting clubs are out there and what facilities are out there. So there's an opportunity, and it's a fairly low-hanging fruit one in terms of promotion. We know we're going to need new sports grounds, and we've got an opportunity to acquire land at Drew Point, and that is a reasonably significant area where we could develop new sports grounds, or we could also develop that further as a dog exercise area. And then, given that land is limited, but we do have lots of school facilities, the opportunity to collaborate with the Department of Education, Children and Young People, as they're now called, to develop partnerships so that we use school facilities for community use after hours. And that's my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. We appreciate that, and we look forward to the discussion amongst councillors on Monday evening at our meeting. We now move to page 3, consideration of the 2022-23 annual report. We did put it out for public consultation, but we did not receive any submissions at the time that the agenda was compiled. So that moves us now to public questions without notice and motions from the floor. So we'll start with questions without notice. You may be aware that in the agenda that was provided that there is a guideline for the meeting procedures for this section of the meeting. If you would like to ask a question, it operates in a similar way to how it does at council meetings, where members of the community can come and ask questions. So you come to the lectern, we'll get that turned, the microphone turned on for you, and you're asked to identify yourself with your name and the suburb in which you live. We do ask that questions be concise. There's no opportunity for discussion, significant preamble or embellishment of the question, and as a courtesy, we ask that no one is interrupted while they are speaking. If we're unable to provide specific response today, then we will put the question on notice. So open it up to the floor. Does anyone have a question that they would like to ask? No? Okay. I think that's a first at an AGM for me. Thank you. We now move to motions from the floor. Similar procedure, so if you wish to move a motion, come to the lectern. motions, the mover can speak for 5 minutes, and then we'd ask other people in the audience to speak, and then the mover has a right of reply, and then anybody who is in the public gallery who is a resident of Kingborough can vote on the motion. The motion then goes to council for consideration at a forthcoming meeting. Does anyone have a notice of motion they would like to put forward? Thank you. Would you like to come forward?
Charles Biggins, Leslie Vale. Stakeholder engagement, endorsement and development of council policies and bylaws within council's community engagement process. I move a motion in four parts. I move the motion that council investigate and prepare a report to be included with the council officer's recommendations following an official community engagement process.
Sorry, just pause while we get it up on the screen. Mrs. Norton is going as fast. She's a very fast scribe. Okay, keep going. Thank you.
Identifying the submissions for and against received from actual stakeholders directly affected by the proposed council decision.
Okay. For and against. Could you just repeat that?
For and against received from actual stakeholders directly affected by the proposed council decision.
Yep.
Stakeholders will have the definition as per Kingborough Council's communications and engagement policy guidelines definitions. B, that, or part B, that unless the majority of stakeholders whose properties will be directly affected by a council proposal and who have made submissions through a community engagement process.
Stop. Just let her catch up.
Sorry.
If you perhaps look at the screen as to where she's at to up to, that will give some guidance when you need to slow down.
I'm watching my screen. Sorry.
So we're at affected by council's proposal and?
and who have made submissions through a community engagement process actually support the council proposal, then council doesn't proceed against the will of the stakeholders whose properties will be affected. Part C. Vote stakeholders that have been verified as being directly affected by a council proposal via a council community engagement process.
Okay, stop. Directly affected by a council community engagement process.
Are invited to develop the council proposal further as per the definition of public participation. In the council's communications and engagement policy and guidelines. And part D, that the recent trees on private property bylaw be among the first community engagements to be investigated, reported and developed in accordance with the three previous principles of stakeholder engagement, endorsement and development of council proposals.
Okay, thank you. We'll just give Mrs. Morton a moment to just put the one up the top as A, so it's clear that this is the motion. Thank you very much. I won't read that motion. I won't repeat that motion because I think it's clear to everyone, but we're looking for a seconder of the motion now. Do we have a seconder for this motion? Yep. And could you state your name, please? Right. Thank you. You're Katrina with an E or an I? I. Thank you. You can speak to the motion now.
Speak to the motion. At present, when developing policy... this is not all being typed down, is it? No? No. At present, when developing policy or bylaw, council is able to handpick the public participation they get for any policy or bylaw development. This process is neither public in that the names and affiliations of those consulted are not publicly disclosed, and neither does it guarantee that affected stakeholders are actually participating in the process. The community engagement process is so open that anyone and everyone can have a say. The possibility exists that special interest groups adversely affected by council decisions themselves and may not live in the municipality or even in Tasmania are able to drown out the concerns of actual stakeholders of our local council body corporate. I do not wish to censor the general public and visitors to the municipality from contributing to the community engagement process, but these people are not stakeholders in this local council, and council's primary body corporate function is to serve the interest of its stakeholders, whilst also maintaining the health, safety and environment of the municipality for the broader community. Kingborough Council has a long history of developing environmental regulations. In this municipality, with minimal stakeholder participation in the engagement, endorsement and development of these property rights restrictions. The biodiversity offset policy set to top $81,000 per hectare that never went out to public consultation. The nomination of 20,000 hectares of private land for landscape conservation zoning under the new Tasmanian planning scheme that never went out to public consultation, and the tree bylaw that previously operated in this municipality for more than a decade also never went out for public consultation.
Pardon? Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this motion? Yep, please come forward. Okay. Would anyone else like to speak on this motion, either for or against it? I probably don't need to ask you then to have a right of reply, as you've been our only speaker, so that closes the debate on that motion. I'm going to put the motion. It's as printed on the screen. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I need to count. One, two, three. 11, I guess. And all those against. 2 against. So the motion is carried, and that will now come to a council agenda at an upcoming meeting. Further motions.
My name's Georgina Kirkpatrick. I currently reside in Signet, but we have property in Gordon. I move the following motion in two parts. A is that council, when requiring an external environmental report for a DA from a suitably qualified and insured consultant, that the council honour the findings of that independent report unless it can be proven to be substandard.
Just give us a chance for Mrs. Morton to catch up. If you could just repeat the words after suitably qualified.
An insured consultant. That the council honour the findings of that independent report.
That the council. Yes, as a ratepayer, because she's indicated that she pays rates at Gordon, so, yeah. Yeah. On the findings of the report?
Unless it can be proven to be substandard. And part B to this? If council wish to challenge the findings of an independent report commissioned by the landowner, council must provide two alternative reports at council's expense from two other independent environmental consultants with equal or higher qualifications to the one provided by the landowner. Those are my two.
Thank you. So the motion is as printed on the screen. Do I have a seconder for that motion, please?
Sorry?
Seconded Charles Biggins. Sorry, just...
Kirkpatrick.
And seconded Charles Biggins. Thank you. If you would like to speak to the motion now.
I can only speak, of course, from my own personal experience in developing our property, in that we were asked by council to get an environmental report in order for our DA to go ahead. And it has seemed since we've gotten that report, it has been ignored by the planning people. It has been cherry-picked by planning people. And we have pretty much been told that that is our environmental consultant's personal opinion. I find that pretty ridiculous when you are trying to provide reports that are requested by council, because without those reports we wouldn't be able to go any further for our DA, and then for council to then move the goalposts and not really come back with any particular reasoning to why they've been ignored is very frustrating, time-consuming, costly, and an unfair burden towards the landholder.
Thank you very much. Would anybody else like to speak for or against the motion? Nope, so you probably don't need to write a reply. Thank you very much. I will now put the motion. It's as printed on the screen. It was moved by Georgina Kirkpatrick and seconded by Charles Biggins. All those in favour, please raise your hands. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, if I'm counting correctly. Is that correct? Yep. And those against? One against. Thank you very much. The motion is carried, and like the previous one, it will come to a future meeting of council for consideration. Do we have any other motions from the floor? No? Well, that being no further business, I would thank everyone for coming along on a Saturday morning. I'm pretty sure there are other things you could be doing, particularly when the sun is out, but we do really appreciate your attendance today and your interest in what we're doing here in Kingborough. So I will also thank the people who are watching along at home and declare the meeting closed at 11:46 a.m. Thank you very much.